Good evening. Welcome to this special service tonight. It is a delight and an honor to be here, to be back in this pulpit again and back with this church family. Tonight is a special occasion. The Lord has set aside a man and a woman for his ministry and has anointed them. And that is what we have gathered here, not to accomplish that, but to confirm it and affirm that that has happened. And we are about to encounter the living God in these moments ahead. May we look forward with anticipation with what is going to occur in these moments before us. We have different individuals, representatives from the district who are here. We will not introduce each one of them. They are listed in the bulletin. And so we will just follow along in the bulletin if we use your bulletins. Also, when we come to the hymns, we will be using the hymnals this evening. And so may we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth in these moments ahead. Would you please stand together with me for the invocation?
Will you join your faith with mine as we pray? Lord Jesus, head of the church, Bridegroom of the church, and Savior of all who believe, we invite your presence among us tonight. We pray that your Holy Spirit will endue our brother Douglas Coleman with power. Endue him with the gifts of the Spirit that will equip him for the ministry to which you call him. We pray that together he and Miriam may know your presence, your anointing, and a confirmation of their call to ministry through this service this evening. To all of us, we pray that you will manifest yourself in a special way, and when the service is ended, each of us will be able to say, it has been good for us to have been here, for the Lord indeed is in this place. We pray in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Pastor Doug, if you would stand. I've had the joy of mentoring Douglas E. Coleman for 2 years, and found him solid in the faith and clear in his calling to ministry. Over the last 2 years, in order to prepare for this special day of ordination, Douglas Coleman had to read 9 books, write 5 positional papers, read through the whole Bible 2 times, meet with me 15 times, attend evangelism training, attend workshops held in Punxsutawney on a regular basis, take a lengthy written exam, and pass an oral exam. He has done all this successfully and in a timely and professional manner. I believe Douglas Coleman will be used mightily by the Lord through the years. His intellect is sharp and his love for Jesus is strong. And I believe the Lord Jesus has great plans for this man of God. On top of all this, he has also been gifted by God with a fantastic wife, Miriam, to support him in ministry and life. And so, Mr. Superintendent, it is my privilege and personal joy to present and recommend Douglas E. Coleman for ordination. Thank you, Pastor.
I can't remember if he mentioned that he also had to take a very lengthy test and meet before the LO and CC, and we didn't take it easy on him, did we, Reverend Underwood? We let him have it, and he left with a smile. So an ordination service is not a memorial service. It's a celebration, right? And we have some songs that we're going to sing tonight, and you got to help me out. I walked in the door, someone says, I didn't hear you come in. Where's your motorcycle? Well, It had been a little hard in this. It would have ruined my image going down the road wearing one of these on a motorcycle. But I was breathing a lot of air, and I'm going to need some help with these songs. We're going to start off by having this celebration, by turning to hymn 254, Be Thou My Vision, and we're going to stand as we sing this, please. You'd rather be here than the best hospital in Pittsburgh, right? All right, so let's sing it. Be Thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that Thou art. Thou my best spot, but by day or by night, waking or sleeping, Thy presence my life. Be Thou my wisdom, and Thou my true word. I ever with Thee, and Thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, by Thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling, I with Thee one. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, now and always. Thou and first in my heart, High King of Heaven, my King. Let's sing it out on the last. High King of Heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joys. Oh, heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, oh. Amen? You may be seated.
In the harvest field now ripened, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling to the harvest, calling you. Does the place you're called to labor seem so small and little known? It is great if God is in it, and He'll not forget His own. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown, and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. When the conflict here is ended, and our race on earth is run, He will say, if we are faithful, welcome home, my child, well done. Well, little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown, and you can win it if you'll go.
Our scripture lesson this evening is taken from the second epistle of the Apostle Paul to his spiritual son, Timothy. It is part of Paul's charge to Timothy for ministry, verses 1 through 8 of 2 Timothy 4. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and that time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
It is such a delight to be here this evening. And excuse me, gentlemen, but I'm going to get a little closer, if that is okay. I can get close to him, you know, and I can wring his neck if I need to, right? To begin with, to the parents, it is obvious that you love the Lord and that a reflection of your commitment and love for God is seen in your son. Well done. Well done. The kingdom of God is blessed because of you, and eternity will be transformed because of your investment in your son. Well done. Well done. And to Reverend and Mrs. Steiner, thank you so much for your commitment to the Lord, not only in the churches that you have served, for you have served so faithfully, both of you, and in the district office as well. But along with that, you have been so faithful in investing in this precious daughter of yours who is standing beside this man to serve the Lord. Well done. Well done. Truly, the godliness in her is a reflection from you. Thank you for your ministry to them all of your lives. Eternity will be transformed because of your parenting and your love for your daughter. The Apostle Paul was speaking to a spiritual son, and in one sense, I feel a little bit like that to Pastor Doug tonight. And so that's one of the reasons why I chose that passage, where I felt led of the Lord to do that, to try and speak into his heart, just as the Apostle Paul, because I believe if Paul were here looking at a young man going into ministry, this is what he said. It's what he said to Timothy. I think he would say the same thing to Pastor Doug here this evening. He begins it with, don't miss it, in the presence of God in Jesus Christ. And literally, that is who is here right now. Even now, in the presence of Almighty God and Jesus Christ, hear this charge. I charge you, in the presence of God and all these witnesses, preach the word. Preach the word. That's the first command that he gives. We're going to look at six of them tonight. The first one is, preach the word. K. Russo, announce it, proclaim it, get the word out. The word of God. You know, sometimes that we hear sermons, but they don't have a whole lot of the word in it. And I know that you probably don't know this, but Pastor Doug has memorized 7 books of the Bible. All right, stand up and start quoting. Now, it may be a little time, but I've seen him start to do it and pull them through. Preach the word, that word that you have hidden in your heart from quizzing and growing up and from your parents helping you. Preach the word of God. What the world needs is the word of God. What I say, what you say, what others say is not important, but what is powerful and effective and will not return void is God's word. Preach the word of God. And then Paul says how to do that. He says to correct. There's a lot of correcting, correct thought that needs to take place in the church. So as you preach in mind and preparing your sermon and seeking God, know that one of the main things to do is correct wrong thinking, so that thinking will be corrected by the Word of God. Because the Word of God is our only measurement for faith and practice. It is what we believe, it's what we live by. Preach the Word. Do it for correction. And then be very careful, because it says to do it to rebuke. We must be very careful. But it's appropriate for a pastor to have a message that does rebuke. Amen? And if you never rebuke, then you are not dispensing the true Word of God. But only rebuke as the Holy Spirit leads. Because if it is of the flesh, it will not have the power. And it can possibly inoculate people from the real Word of God. And then it says to encourage. To encourage. The Word of God is to be an encouragement to us. It is to breathe into us the energy and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. So many times Jesus, when he preached and he taught and he went to the people were refreshed and revived. I mean, people went and they stayed. You know, some of you are having a hard time staying awake even now already, right? That's another reason why I come down here, you know. It's an intimidating thing, you know. Because I may walk real close to you. Jesus preached for 3 days and they hung on every word. They were encouraged. When you preach, encourage. Encourage. So he first says, preach the word. Preach the word. And then he goes on. And, you know, I have my Bible here. And at the last church I was at, I said, now, is this biblical? Can I read my palm? Is that okay? And they chuckled too. Because what's supposed to happen to palm readers? Huh? See, someone's preached well here in the past. Pastor Wood, you've done a good job here. They know that you're supposed to stone palm readers. But please let me hear, because, you know, this is not supposed to happen, but it happened, that I cannot remember my second point. You know that? Doesn't that just get you when you can't remember your second one? Oh, well, it'll come to me, I'm sure it will. We'll go to the third one. Endure hardship. endure hardship. That's a reality. That is a reality. If you're going to be called into the ministry and you're going to pastor and lead people, you will have to endure hardship. There were many in Paul's day who began well and left. They could not endure the hardship. Hardship will, it will come. It's not maybe it will come, maybe you don't have to experience it. It will come. Any amens from the choir over here? Hardships are going to come. Dad, any amens? Hardships are going to come. And for that, I know the genes are against you, but I think that you need to fatten him up a little bit to endure these hardships. The genes are against you, but we're to endure hardship. It's going to come. Prepare yourself. Jesus said, "Beware when all men speak well of you." It's not normal when all men speak well of you. Hardship is going to come. And then he goes on and he tells him to do all, to discharge all the duties of ministry. All the duties of ministry. Sometimes I go to these seminars and I see young guys going to some of the big name seminars, and these pastors who pastor large churches, they say that all they do is preach. You know? And then the young pastor goes back to his small flock and he says, "All I'm going to do is preach." Does that work? It doesn't work. In fact, that guy at the huge church, he may have staff people to do the research for him, and then he just puts the messages together. That's not going to happen. He says to discharge all the duties. And all those duties vary from pastor, from church to church to church, but to visit your people, to love your people, to counsel your people. There's so many things. Preaching is just a part of it. And Paul had to tell Timothy, it's not just one small area, it is the whole ministry to shepherd the flock. And the Holy Spirit will reveal to you, be careful to not just focus on the few things, but to look at all of them, to discharge all of the things of ministry. And then he says something to Timothy that a lot of people take for granted. And they think that Timothy just had it easy, or all pastors have it easy. He says, do the work of an evangelist. Do the work of evangelists. You know, I believe that the work of evangelists for a pastor is actually very difficult. Right now, we just moved to Punxsutawney. I don't know a single soul in Punxsutawney. I don't know anybody. So you know what my first task is? I've got to meet people. I've got to learn who my neighbors are. In fact, just the other day, I met my first neighbor, Joe. Joe Godford's son. Wasn't that his name? God? He said, just call me Joe God. Okay. He said, I've seen DS's come and DS's go. DS's come, DS's go. I've been here since 1975. And he's talking about all this stuff. And I said, okay, Joe, what church do you attend? Oh, I haven't attended for a little while. How long is a little while? Well, I haven't attended since we've been married. Well, I was thinking maybe he just got married. Well, 41 years ago. So I've got my first dude. I got my first person on my evangelism hit list. It's Joe. I need about 11 more. If I don't do the work of evangelists, can I tell young pastors to do the work of an evangelist? And young pastors, if you're not doing the work of evangelists, can you tell your people to do the work of an evangelist? Some of you think that I have the gift of evangelism. I don't. I do the work of an evangelist. I work hard at it. And the biggest thing to do is to be a friend, to make friends with people, to seek God and ask God, and wherever you're serving, seek God. Lord, who is it that you want me to invest in? because they are white unto harvest. And then that image he gives you, you befriend them. And it takes time. And local family, please give him time so that he can do that. Because if he's up here 24/7 and trying to care for his wife and all that, when can he be a friend of sinners? And all of us need to be accused of being a friend of sinners. Because that's what Jesus Christ was. A friend of sinners. Do the work of an evangelist. Now, I know Pastor Doug, his parents and in-laws know him far better than I do, but if you don't know it already, Pastor Doug has a phenomenal mind. He has been extremely gifted with a phenomenal mind. I like the funny papers. He likes philosophy. You know? He enjoys living up here. Is that right, Mom and Dad? He's like, whoa. Kind of scary. A sharp mind. There's one other command that I believe Paul would give. It's not in this chapter. It's in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. And he basically says, and it is in a command form, he says, be completely humble. See, the Apostle Paul, he was lifted up and he's got to see the third heaven and all these great visions. And as a result of that, what did God do? God blessed him with something. Do you remember what God blessed him with? Because he was given this special gift, this special privilege, God blessed him with a wonderful, wonderful gift. What was that gift? Do you remember? The thorn in the flesh. You know, I had a professor that told me that that was his wife. And he was serious. Can you believe that? Your thorn in the flesh is not this pretty young lady beside you, okay? Along with that gift of such a sharp, sharp mind, in order to balance that out, seek complete humility. Because without that humility, your intellect will lead you to danger and to pride. Humility in a pastor is so important. In the Word of God, there are two shepherds that are lifted up constantly, David and Moses. Moses, can you imagine? I've been studying Moses lately. Can you imagine leading over 1 million people, and everywhere you turn, they griped and complained. And yet the Word of God says Moses was a humble man. It says Moses was the most humble man on all the earth. His humility allowed him to be a phenomenal leader, a great leader. Pastor Doug, seek humility all of your life. It will balance the keen intellect that God has given to you. For Jesus said, the greatest among us or to be the servant of all. Let all of us daily ask God to make us humble. Because when we humble ourselves before the Lord, James teaches that then He lifts us up. May you ever, ever walk humbly before your God. And may He lift you up. Let us pray. O Father in heaven, We have turned to your word, the Holy Scriptures. We have looked at what the Apostle Paul said to young Timothy. And we've only scratched the surface, but we have taken your word and declared it, proclaimed it. I ask that your word would take seed in every one of us, and especially in Pastor Doug. Father, he is a precious, precious possession in your sight. I praise you that before the creation of the world, you look forward in time and you said, Doug, I choose you. I adopt you. You are mine. I put my seal upon you. You are not only mine, but I call you to minister, to lead, to prepare the bride of Christ to meet the bridegroom. I ask that just as those things you imparted to Timothy long ago, I ask that you would impart them to Pastor Doug here and now. Bless his precious wife. May they together as a team, as one in Christ, serve you with all of their strength, with all of their energy, and may it go even beyond that. May they serve you in the power of the resurrection. May they walk humbly before you and serve you with integrity. Bless them, Lord, and make them a blessing. In the name and in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask these things. And all God's children said, Amen. Amen.
I believe that I'm going to start praying for Joe too, for your neighbor. But when he gets his life turned around, you got to call us. All right? How many would pray for his neighbor also? You're going to put him on your prayer list, Joe. His neighbor. First of all, you got to remember, he's his neighbor. So Joe needs prayer. Right? But Joe also needs prayer because I believe, I've seen it, when people get together and start praying, God can change lives. This is why I love this next hymn. It's 104, And Can It Be? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? And that fourth verse, if you look at it, says, Long my imprisoned spirit lay fast, bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. How many remember the day your chains fell off and your heart was free? Boy, when we sang this song and I see addicts and people in recovery, people whose marriages were lost, people whose lives have just, they were in a hole, just stand up and start to cry because they go, amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? If they get that excited and that moved by this song, should we not also, at this ordination service, as we send a man out to preach the gospel, that will set people free? So 104, and we're going to sing the first, fourth, and fifth stanza. If you will, let us stand together. The first... fourth and fifth stanza. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood, dying for me to cost His pain for me to Him to death pursue? Amazing love, how can it be that Thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that Thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke the dungeon flame with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. Went forth and fought. Amazing love, amazing love, how can it be that Thou, my God, should die for me? No condemnation now I dread. Jesus has gone in. Standing, I believe. Yes.
Come and stand before the communion table. Are you persuaded that you are truly called to the gospel ministry according to the will of our Lord Jesus Christ?
I am.
Are you persuaded that the Word of God presents all truth required for eternal salvation through faith in Jesus Christ? Are you determined out of the same Word to so instruct people committed to your charge that they may enter eternal life?
I am.
Do you accept the statement of faith, government, and fellowship of the Christian and Missionary Alliance and purpose to faithfully work toward the wide presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ in its fullness, the proclamation, the promotion of the Holy Spirit-filled Christian life, and the work of evangelism at home and abroad. Do you purpose to be faithful and diligent in the cultivation of your personal relationship with Jesus Christ, to keep yourself from sin, to seek to live a life of purity of heart and prayer, so that you may minister to others from that which you have received through the fellowship of the Spirit of God?
I do.
Do you purpose to teach and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, to exalt righteousness, to rebuke evil, to reclaim the erring, to help the poor, to uplift the fallen, to minister to the sick, to comfort those in trouble, to guide and inspire youth, and to serve your fellow men in the Spirit of Jesus?
I do.
And to the representatives of the ordaining council, do you, representing the fellowship of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, in testimony in this high purpose, now solemnly ordain Douglas E. Coleman and set him apart for the work of Christian ministry, pledging him your life, your prayers, and your steadfast cooperation, that we may work together for the advancement of the kingdom of Jesus Christ?
We do.
And now to all present here, do you, the official representatives of the district family, affirm this ordination, recognizing that you too are a part of the ordination process and acknowledging your responsibility to uphold this man in supportive prayer?
We do.
And now at this time, Pastor Doug, would you and Miriam come and kneel? And it is an honor this evening to have Reverend Steiner, Miriam's dad, come and say the prayer of blessing. And as he comes for the ordination prayer, I would ask that members of our ordaining council to come down to lay hands on Pastor Doug and Miriam, as well as the clergy that are here, other clergy who are here, if you would come, and the parents, if you would also please come to be a part of this. And now, any elders who are here in the church, if you would like to come at this time and join, and we will gather around, and those closest, please lay hands directly on Doug and Miriam. And then if you cannot reach directly to them, please place your hands on the shoulder of the person in front of you. And now, symbolic, would you raise your hands toward Pastor Doug and let us join in dedicating him?
Our Heavenly Father, we gather here this evening to set Douglas E. Coleman apart for the work of the Christian ministry. In doing this, Father, we acknowledge that you are the one who have chosen him. You have called him. You have equipped him. And what we are doing is simply acknowledging your sovereign will. Father, we thank you for what you have done in Doug's life, in drawing him to yourself, in helping him to grow in you, in calling him into ministry. You have brought him to this point. And now, Father, we ask that you would fill him afresh with your Holy Spirit to equip him for holy living and ministry. Father, we ask that you would fill him with your love, that he may love you supremely. We pray as well that your love would flow through him to others, that in love he would correct, he would rebuke, He would encourage, that in love He would share the gospel with those who do not know Jesus Christ. We pray that Your love would flow through Him to the believers to whom He ministers, and they would be refreshed by Him as You minister through Him. We ask for wisdom for Doug, wisdom that would bring glory to Your name, wisdom in facing the opportunities in life, the challenges in life, the hard times. Give him wisdom to follow You faithfully. We pray for a heart of holiness for Doug, that he would hunger and thirst for righteousness and for holiness, and that daily he would live a holy life as Your Holy Spirit enables him. Help him to not only live a holy life, but to stand for holiness in whatever he may face as he goes through the days in his in our society. We pray that there would be that sense of holiness about him. Help him to flee youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. We pray that You would keep Doug faithful. Keep him through Your indwelling Holy Spirit, faithful to Him. We pray that he would never waver from his commitment to You and from his assurance that You are the one who have called him to ministry. Help him to be faithful each day in spending time in Your Word and in prayer, drawing closer to You. And we ask for courage and strength for Doug. Help him to boldly stand for You, to boldly live for You, whatever he may face in enduring hardship. Help him to do so courageously and strongly through our Lord Jesus Christ. And help him to boldly proclaim Your word, not tickling the ears of those who want to hear sweet sounds, but seeking to boldly proclaim the truth of Your word in love. Help him to be courageous in doing the work of an evangelist. And then, Father, we pray for Doug that You would fill him with humility as well, that he would realize all that he is, all that he has, all that he would accomplish is because of You and what You are doing in and through him. Father, help Doug to trust You with all of his heart and not lean on his own understanding. Help him to acknowledge You in all his ways. And then as You make Your path straight before him, help him to follow confidently and faithfully. Yes. And Father, we pray for Miriam. Thank You that You have called her to be His helpmate. Give her the strength that she needs day by day, not only to be the wife that You want her to be, but the example to others as well. Give her wisdom in being a part of the ministry. Give her courage. We pray that Doug and Miriam would grow in their love for You day by day and for each other and be an example in our troubled world and our troubled society of what it means to be a godly husband and wife. Now, Father, as Your child, as a man of God, as an ordained minister of the gospel, help Doug to be an example to all in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Father, we affirm that You have called Doug. You have gifted him to serve You in full-time ministry. And so we ordain Reverend Douglas E. Coleman for the work of Christian ministry in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And we pray this all in that name that is above every other name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Congregation, you may be seated. Now, if you would, please turn in your hymnals to number 197, Amazing Grace. May we stand together as Pastor Dan comes and lead us. Amazing Grace, hymn number 197.
I'd like to sing the first three stanzas, and then we'll sing that last one, number six, a cappella, all right?
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to feel, and grace my fears relieved. How precious is that grace of me, the hour
on the third. Last, without the instruments.
When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining has the sun. We've no less days to sing
to be here tonight? Yeah. Father, we thank you that we can be here. Now, there are some of us sitting here tonight that if it wasn't for your amazing grace, we wouldn't be here. This would be the last place we'd be. Some of us, we question whether we'd even be alive. So the fact that we're here at this time, at this place, for this opportunity, for this ordination, thank you. Thank you a million times over. And Lord, as we leave this place, may we praise your name. But may we also support the ministry of this church and of its leadership. And Father, I would ask that through your Holy Spirit, you would pour out a blessing upon this place. That you would just open the heavens and bring an anointing that through the leadership here and through this church that was built for your glory, this community would never, ever be the same. And that eternity would be much different and lives would be changed because of those who are in this room. And Father, give them safety as they go home and watch over them, encourage them, lift them up, and hear their prayers. And Lord, we take a moment to pray for Jeff's new neighbor, Joe. And we would ask that soon we would hear that the door was open, and even though he saw many DSs come and go, he's not met one like this man. And may he come to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And may we be part of the rejoicing because we're part of the praying. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.
All are invited for a time of fellowship over in the fellowship hall. Please join us together. Pastor Doug, would you lead the way? And Miriam and your families, would you please lead the way to the fellowship hall?